swinging strike three. He struck out. A really impressive bottom of the eighth inning for right-hander Colby White.
You know, you hear kids talk about these guys that play at this stage and stuff, and every kid wants to, and that's kind of molded me into being able to succeed at this level. Spencer said, "Colby, you just got drafted in the sixth round." And I thought he was joking. Then I started thinking about, you know, how hard I've worked just to get here and just to be able to pitch here. And then thinking about that, I started crying a little bit. Just when I get in, I know I got three outs to get. It's me versus whoever steps in the box. They're going to catch hell for three outs.
All right, everybody, glad to have you back today. Like we say each and every week, we're going to talk about the game of baseball, but we're going to talk about things that go on inside and outside the lines. And today's guest is a guy that I don't know about Kobe, but he really impressed me, some of the stuff that he went through. What do you think, Kobe?
Yeah, he's a true testament to an ultimate competitor. A lot of people take away the valleys. But he's the guy that helps you learn from him, and everyone deals with so much a lot of times, and then he just kept fighting and didn't give up, and so let's jump right into it.
Sounds good, man.
Hey guys, Colby here. As my journey continues, people tell me as I battle on the mound, it's really a game that's purely mental. But I understand that the physical well-being is equally important. Mike and Christy Johnson of our title sponsor, the clinic at Farmers Med Shop, in my hometown of Foxworth, Mississippi, echo the same sentiment. When you're looking for the answer for all your health needs, call or stop by and let Mike and his wonderful staff help you be the best you can be.
All right, everybody, welcome back today to another episode of Brushing Them Back with Colby White. Colby, how are you doing today, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm excited to hear this one talk.
All right. So as all the listeners at this point now know, Colby and I are on a quest to try to bring baseball to the masses, but to not just bring the game, to bring the stories that surround the game. And I think today, anybody that knows Colby White knows the kind of spirit he's got, knows that he's got that underdog, battle-the-world mentality. But I think we might have found a guest today that's going to have a more inspiring underdog story than Colby. Colby, why don't you tell him a little bit about our guest, and then let's get him on the show.
Okay. So this guest is a Summerall High School alum. Didn't always go there, but ended up there, and his career seemed like it really took off once he got over there. He's got a bunch of accolades and accomplishments, and a very hard-working guy, very good teammate, a guy I love going to war with, played with him in college, and then watched his career unfold. Drake Nightingale's his name. Welcome to the show, Drake.
I appreciate it being here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So to start with, you go to Poplarville High School, and then you end up at Summerall. You was at Stone for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I was. I was at Stone High School or middle school, 7th and 8th, and a little bit of my 9th grade year. Kind of hopped around a little bit, you know. My 9th grade year, moved to Poplarville. So I transferred schools. And then my junior year of high school, my older sister, she had a baby in Hattiesburg, so I was very fortunate enough to be able to move up to Summerall High School and play for the great, you know, Coach Larry Knight. But, yeah, I ended up at Summerall High School. Awesome time.
To add to that, you didn't just play there. You ended up winning 3A Player of the Year, which is a huge accomplishment in itself. But, you know, prior to going to Summerall, you didn't have much playing time at Poplarville, right? Am I inaccurate?
No, I didn't play at all. Not a lick.
And what is a kind of a takeaway about being – what kind of changed for you? What do you think was the big thing that, what led to the player you are now from then?
Well, you know, my ninth grade year of high school, I was diagnosed with, you know, Crohn's disease, and I got really, really sick, lost a lot of weight. So my ninth grade year, and really my sophomore year, I was always kind of fighting that, you know, being sick battle. So I was really skinny, really small, little kid. I worked really hard. I thought I was really good, but, you know, just being so small, you know, you never really get a chance, opportunity to play. And really, you know, when my junior year, was the first opportunity I was able to be fortunate enough to have. And I always kind of believed in myself and believed I could do it, believed I could play baseball no matter how big or, you know, how big or small I was. In my junior year, kind of, I was able to play and express myself and kind of have fun and, you know, show my talents, and everything kind of took off.
I got a quick question to cut in here. What about, like, how far back do you remember playing a game of baseball? Like, how far is it as the first chance you could get on the field, or were you, you know, you're a little later in life before you started playing?
Oh, no, my dad, he was a college baseball coach when I was a little kid. And so I can remember not really playing baseball, but always, you know, practicing baseball in my backyard, you know, just playing catch, kind of just doing whatever. I didn't really start playing rec ball until I got, you know, 8 years old, I would say. I wasn't a big T-ball guy or anything, just because my dad was always so busy. So I can remember playing catch in my backyard until I was, you know, 5 years old. But the actual game was probably around 8 years old, I would say.
So to add to your dad being a coach, you know, how many years did Mr. Jim, how many years did he coach at Pearl River, and what did it mean to you to be playing at the same school that your dad coached at years prior?
I mean, yeah, he was a head baseball coach at Pearl River Community College for 14 years. And so I remember, you know, being a little kid that got to go to the field and hang out, thinking my dad was awesome, you know, the superhero that I thought he was. And so it meant the world going to play at Pearl River and follow up, you know, what he kind of left off over there. And to be able to see where Pearl River is now, and, you know, those 3 years that I was there, I kind of feel like the, you know, the environment there changed, and it was,
yeah,
it was awesome to be there. It means the world to me.
Yeah. So, state championships in high school, then you go to Pearl River. Is there any takeaways from being, you know, Summerall, Larry Knight, winning tradition for years upon years? I always felt when I played with you like it was never okay to drop any games. You know, is that something you think you kind of got instilled in you at Summerall, or are you just highly competitive? What do you think leads to that?
I was, you know, really competitive always growing up, and but I was always at a high school that, you know, it always kind of seemed like it was okay to, you know, just make it to the playoffs and kind of get put out. So once I got to Summerall, I really got to see and see what it took and see how a group of guys have to come together and play and win, you know, baseball games. And so, being at, you know, Summerall High School, I really learned how to win and how to play, you know, hard, play every inning, like it's your last. And it was hard, you know, going to leaving Summerall, honestly. It was really hard because it was not everybody has the same vision of winning. So that was probably my biggest takeaway from there.
Drake, I got a quick question for you. Coming out of Summerall, a little baseball powerhouse in South Mississippi, for those, you know, in our international audience, you know, people in Malaysia and places like that are going to be listening to this have no idea just how good you guys were. Summerall is considered a baseball powerhouse in the southern part of our state for sure. When you graduated, you had just piles of offers waiting for you. So how did we end up at PRC with like 25 or 30 offers sitting out there?
I wish I had 25 or 30 offers. I only had, coming out of high school, I only had two junior college offers. It was to go to East Mississippi and Pearl River Community College. And I didn't have any offers coming out of high school. So me being able to go to JUCO, go to Pearl River, in my eyes, you know, it was everything. I thought it was, I thought it was university, honestly. So I didn't think anything was different going to Pearl River as it was going to Southern Miss or, Mississippi State or anything. I thought going to Pearl River was going to be the same thing. And, but I didn't have any offers out of high school, no D1, D2 or anything, just two JUCO offers.
And the crazy thing is, I don't know that any of those coaches that passed are going to hear this, but 3A player of the year. He's a professional pitcher now and passed, so it is what it is. But it's interesting you hear those stories like this and then you sit there and scratch your head and it's like, how did this happen, But so while we were playing, I believe the year was 2018, throwing very well. I can't remember your numbers, but I remember one game watching you throw, I believe it was a 7-inning game, and you had like 17 or 18 strikeouts or something like that in junior college, which is unheard of. A couple weeks go by, you have Tommy John. Talk to us about what happened, what changes happened when you're sitting there going through that process. What was you thinking? What was your mindset?
At first it scared me, because it was, it just happened all of a sudden. I never had any type of arm pain or anything. And, growing up, my arm never hurt. I used to play shortstop and I could just, throw a baseball, 1,000 times a day, I felt like, and it never once bothered me. And then on the last pitch of the game, I hear a loud pop. And so it scared me. And, at first, I was signed to a D2 at the time, and I was signed to Delta State to go play. And this is my sophomore year. And, so I was very fortunate to be able to be signed to Delta State. And, late in the year, it was just very hard. I was really scared. I didn't think I was going to be playing baseball anytime soon. I just decided I was going to, work hard. I was like, whatever it takes is, it's going to have to take because I want to do this. I really think I can. So just really, it made me look at the game a little bit differently, appreciate it a little bit more, and know that it can be taken away from you at any point. So now, it just kind of made me really want it a little bit more, work a little bit harder. I think it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. Because having TJ, I was able to get a medical red shirt about halfway through the year. Some awesome, it was just by the grace of God, I was able to get a medical red shirt. So that year didn't count against me. So I was able to go back to Pearl River another year, be at the house and really kind of focus on my rehab and not have to worry about school, stay at Pearl River again. And everything worked out and I was able to bounce back from, Tommy John relatively quickly. I came back right around the 8 to 9 month period and felt pretty good. So I was able to, get an offer to South Alabama from that. I always say it, if it was never for me having Tommy John surgery, I'd never be playing professional baseball. It's really crazy how it all worked out. But it really made me work hard, I guess.
I hear a lot of adversity that keeps you fueled. I mean, that sounds like what the fuel that keeps driving you daily. I got a question, though, about some pressure you put on yourself, or maybe you didn't put any pressure on yourself. What was it like coming up? You were talking about your dad was the head coach at Pearl River Community College in Poplarville, Mississippi, for 14 years. So what was it like growing up, the expectations maybe that you put on yourself or maybe somebody outside your circle put on you because your dad was a coach for 14 years? Was there that extra pressure put on you because just everybody expected you to be an outstanding, you know, athlete, an outstanding baseball player because of your dad's coaching history?
There was, but there really wasn't. You know, I grew up in a very small town, and, you know, I always thought, growing up when I was a little kid, I really wanted to be a baseball player, but my parents really gave me the freedom to really kind of choose what I wanted to be. And, I always felt like baseball was just who I was meant to be. And so I didn't really think of it as a pressure. I just thought of it as, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it was really nice because, you know, my dad, when he did eventually, he stopped coaching, and I was able to spend a little bit more time with him, and, you know, he really helped develop me. He really helped me work hard as a little kid. But once I got sick, you know, my ninth grade year, my junior year especially, I didn't really think of it as pressure because I just kind of thought of it as a gift kind of to be able to play again. I don't think I had any added pressure or anything from that.
That was a little side question I had. Would they have been okay? Would your dad have been okay if you'd walked in one day and said, "Hey, I think I'm gonna be a basketball player. I don't think baseball. I'm not going to baseball routes." So, but you answered that because you said your parents supported you in whatever you were gonna do. So, what happens now at this point in your career? Do you get that call from your dad every day, like, "Hey, I saw some film on you," or "Hey, I caught, you know, during your game, I noticed this. You know, you need to work on it, correct it, whatever." Do you get the coach speak from your dad pretty regularly now?
I speak to him pretty regularly. I'm sorry, you kind of broke up there for a second.
When you're talking to your dad, though, is he talking to you as your dad, or is he talking to you as a coach? Like, if he sees something...
Yes, sir. No, he talked to me as a dad. When I was real little, he always talked to me as a coach, and he was really hard on me about, you know, doing all the little things right. But once I was, you know, once when I moved to Summerall, he kind of realized how Larry Knight ran his program, and he kind of just talked to me as a dad from that point. He just kind of was supportive, you know, told me if I did bad in a game, or he would tell me what I did bad and what I could have fixed. But he the mechanical and, like, doing all the mechanical pitches, like the mechanics and things, he kind of left it to Coach Knight and or other coaches. Growing up, he kind of just, you know, let him take the reins.
So you go to South Alabama. You actually had committed to Delta State, ended up not going, got hurt, ends up at South Alabama. Had an unbelievable resume there, and then you get offered a free agent contract with the Mets. How hard was it leaving South? Was that something you were just itching on doing, going to play pro ball, or was it a hard process to go about?
It was very last minute. I never once thought I was going to be playing professional baseball. I always had the desire to, and that was the goal at the end of the tunnel. You know, that's what I was working for. But it was very last minute, you know, during my senior year at South Al, that's when COVID hit. So, you know, the season got cut off. I had a good resume my senior year, but, you know, getting the call, getting offered an opportunity to play professional baseball today, you know, it was unbelievable. And it wasn't something that I just woke up and, you know, thought I could roll out of bed and do. It was very, very hard to work. And it's very hard to something to get out there and do. And that's the reason I'm still doing it today. You know, I enjoy the grind, or, you know, the process. You know, I'm trying to really, it's all about working hard and, you know, outworking the next guy.
Exactly. You know, you hear as a kid playing this game, the odds. You know, what's the odds of a kid playing in college? I don't know the number, but, you know, you always hear these stories. Oh, you got one in so many hundred thousands odds, or so many million to play professional baseball, or so many billion to play in whatever, you know, whatever the odds are, and you're one of however many. And that's what's crazy is the mind is a powerful thing. You know, I'd like to say long before you signed with the Mets, you believed you would be in that situation. I know you said it kind of snuck up on you, but you viewed yourself, you had to, as a professional pitcher, and then right now you're obviously viewing yourself as a big leaguer. And and that's the crazy thing, that the average kid, if there's an average kid listening to this podcast, is hopefully they get out of this, is you got to believe it first. You know, like you talk about how far you've came since Poplarville High School, and then 3A Player of the Year, and then preseason All-American at South Alabama, and then you know, now you're a professional baseball player, which very few people get to do. But you know, just I remember the first time, one of the first times I talked to you, I got to realizing it's like this guy doesn't believe any different than what he's achieved. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's always kind of been cool to me, to see what different guys pick their brains on that mentality. And talk about the weight room, man. Love lifting, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it.
You gotta love it. It's something you have to fall in love with. It's not something that you can just say, "Hey, I'm gonna do this, and it's gonna be easy every single day to get hit the weight room." But I mean, the weight room changed my life. You know, it changed your life as well. I mean, at Pearl River, that's when I learned to love it and learned how to really push myself in the weight room and gain weight. And if it wasn't for, you know, coaches, you know, teaching me how to, you know, mass equals gas, I don't think I'd be here playing professional baseball. But
yeah,
that's where the big leaguers are made, is in the weight room.
Oh yeah. Well, the thing about it too is, like, the average person, if they could have saw what we looked like in that weight room at Pearl River, they would have thought we were some insane human beings, because it was always trying to compete with the next guy, put more weight on the bar, I'm stronger than you, bunch of grunting, a little bit of cussing, people slapping each other, you know. And, man, those times, I think about that all the time. Man, those times were so fun, and it's so important for young kids that don't go to the Division I level straight off to get that, because a lot of times, you know, if you got this big old muscled-up kid, he's probably going to end up at a D1 somewhere. You know, and sometimes that ain't the case for others, but you obviously gained a lot of size and strength while you were up there, and it's a testament to where your career's at now. But to reiterate about the position you're at now, what's next for you? What is your latest? What are you working on now this offseason?
Like, mechanically, like, in my pitching process, or, like, just...
Just in your route to be a big leaguer.
Oh, yeah, I'm just, I'm still trying to, like, you know, gain that mile per hour, you know. I'm trying to gain a little bit of velocity. And then, really, I've always been a, you know, four-pitch guy. And I'm just really trying to, you know, gain that velocity, but more or less, you know, just staying healthy, staying loose, and, you know, fine-tune being able to locate my pitches exactly how I'm trying, exactly where I'm throwing them. Any pitch in any count, I'm trying to throw a changeup at any time. Slider, curveball, flip fastball, any pitch, just being able to throw it wherever I want to. The velocity will come. But all season goal for me is always to try to gain velocity. But, working up the spring training, I'll fine-tune things. But it's kind of what I'm working on right now, gaining weight, trying to get up to about 200. I'm going to try to get 210,
Yeah. So you're at
a little bit bigger.
Where are you training at this off season?
I'm training at Trev Athletics up in North Carolina right now.
And last off season, you were at Top Velocity in Covington, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So for guys that don't really know, when you go through a full minor league season and you're gone for months after months at a time, the last thing you want to do is pack your bags and go to some city somewhere off. And, the thing about it is the will to be a big leaguer is obviously a lot more to you than being home, which is a hard thing to do, especially for me. That's something that I've learned to get used to, is being away from home. But that's what it takes, being willing to go wherever, whenever, and work on it.
It's part of it, you gotta make those sacrifices. And some guys, you gotta know where you're at, compared to some people. You gotta know, all right, can I coast through this off season, kind of work hard, just try to maintain what I'm doing right now, or really push myself. But I believe you can always get better. And so I'm always trying to find that guy that's going to help me to get better. I'm willing to sacrifice really anything. Pick this guy's brain, and never really get concrete in the one method of training. Unless that one method is just absolutely perfect for me. But I haven't found it yet. But to me, that's just a part of it. And I'm about to be home for another comeback for about a month, so I get to spend a little time with family. But, until I'm done playing, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, sacrifice that time, because you only get one chance at it. And that's just a part of it for me.
Yeah, I believe I remember a coach we had used to say that, you only get one chance at this. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. Coach Addy.
It seemed like he said that every day. You only get one chance. He'd get to talking and stuff, and it always lead back to, you only get one chance at something special like this, and ended up winning a state championship the year after. But pretty crazy how you when you get back to your you're in professional baseball and your coaches aren't there anymore, you still lean back on the things that your coaches talk to you about and the things you hear, which is cool, because I do the same thing, and I'll hear guys I play with do it, and I'm like, man, that's where that come from, but that's the truth, it sticks with you.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean,
you
gotta believe it. It's only one chance. Coach Abby, I think about it all the time. Coach Abby that year at Pearl River, he really made me believe, because I kind of drifted off after high school, leaving summer all. It was kind of hard, that first year before you got there. It was tough, and we didn't win very much. And for me, that really bothered me, and that it was just okay to win, not make the playoffs. Barely be 500, and for me that just wasn't okay. And when Coach Abby got there, he really appreciated. He said he wanted guys to play for him that really wanted to play professional baseball. You gotta believe it, because if you work hard enough, and he always said it, good things happen to good people. If you're a good person, you work hard, odds are in your favor pretty much. And I think I kind of kept my head down and really grinded and really worked. So I think that's kind of how I got an opportunity. To get Lord, he'll take care of you. But yeah, Coach Abby, you only got one chance.
Exactly.
That's true. Well, I know two things I've taken away from this conversation. One, mass equals gas. I'll have to write
that's it, man.
I might even have to get a tattoo for that. That's pretty awesome. And two is, I thought I was going to be talking to a guy that was identifying as an underdog, but the longer I talk to you, you sound more like a top dog to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. Maybe one day, but I gotta keep my head down and keep working.
I think you're well on your way, young man. Well, Kobe, you got anything else for us?
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't want to work hard.
Amen. There's another one, man.
There's another. We're going to put these on the wall.
That's
another
quotable right there.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
You got anything else for him, Kobe?
I believe that's all we got. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy man, rightfully so, and I know you're working hard. When do you report for spring training? Well, I guess you ain't got a report date because we in a lockout. That was a dumb question.
That wasn't really.
Yeah, yeah.
At time of recording, we're in a lockout.
Yeah, so, yeah. So I was gonna get the audience to, you know, because they're gonna keep up with you, Drake. You know, they people
oh, yeah.
all over. But yeah, thank you for coming on, man. This hopefully some kids will hear this and take some inspiration from it and learn from it. I know I take stuff away from everyone, but yeah.
Appreciate it, young man.
Oh, yeah. Sir. Thank y'all.
You have a great day, man. Well, Kobe, that about wraps it up, brother. You got anything you want to add? Any last parting quote? Mass equals gas is probably about the best way to end it. But I mean, I know you probably got something good. So.
Well, the thing about that is the way he lifts and how big this man was. He's lost size because he was big. Like he could pass at one point in time. He was as wide as this desk right here. And but yeah, he really lives the weight room, and it was fun for me. Got at Pearl River, never really been in a weightlifting scene. Got up there, and them guys are just getting after it. And he was the main one, and it was fun competing against him. And it made each other made all of us better, you know. And but yeah, he's still working hard, and he's one of my really good friends. I really enjoy working out and getting after it with him. But
like I said, we pitched him as an underdog story, but he sounds like a top dog to me.
Yeah, he'd been in the valley for a little bit, but he's definitely made it to his peaks for sure. So
well, there's no better way, guys, than to wrap up another episode. He's Kobe, and I'm William, and this is Brushing Them Back with Kobe White. See you next time.
Now a word from our sponsors.
Honesty, integrity, and hard work. These are characteristics that drive me on my journey. The same can be said for Hunter Forbes and his crew, so call or contact Forbes & Son Wood Products, LLC, in Sandy Hook, Mississippi, for all your timber harvesting needs. Hey guys, Kobe here. Check out my new project, Brushing Them Back with Kobe White, currently on Anchor.fm and Spotify, coming soon to anywhere you catch podcasts. This podcast is an open discussion about not just the game of baseball, but the avenues taken by so many to achieve the highest level of success in the sport. Each episode will feature a guest commentator that will provide his or her perspective and or life experiences concerning the topic of the day. We're trying to provide a new, fresh look at a classic game.